It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
So there's not enough growth. Growth is important. Growth and prosperity. Undeveloped countries need growth. Developed countries need growth. We've had stagnation for years. My pal David Malpass, who's former president of the World Bank, recently retired, served in the Trump administration, Reagan, and the Papa Bush administrations. David, David, you ought to write a book. You going to write a book?
Hi, Larry. Well, I'm happy to be on the radio, and I'm thinking about a book, but nice to talk with you.
So your op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, the world economy needs to get its growth back. Without free market policies that encourage dynamism, the current drift may persist for years. So I'm not as diplomatic as you are, and I would just say that the Group of Seven is dominated by socialists, and if not socialists, socialist thinking. And my fear is the G20 is too, and that's the antithesis of free market dynamism and capitalism and free enterprise. They're trying to do it through governments and climate controls and regulatory policies. I mean, to me, the policies are bad, but the leadership is worse.
Policies are leading, you know, at the core to lots of problems. One is subsidies. So governments step in and say, well, I'm going to subsidize this and this and this, whether that's in the climate space, or one of the biggest subsidies going on is for bonds. That's because the central banks are buying bonds. So that distorts everything. And then the central banks operate on an inflation targeting kind of policy, which that's basically the Phillips curve, which we know really doesn't connect to good monetary policy. And so you're left with all of these kind of founding principles within the big economies that end up just concentrating capital in the rich.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the points you make here, which is interesting, it's a point that Bjorn Lomborg has made. You know Bjorn Lomborg? You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, he writes about climate.
Yeah, climate guy in Sweden. He's a very smart guy. He's not a climate denier by any means. But he makes the point, you know, and you're saying this, if you're going to shut down fossil fuels, one thing you're going to shut down is, you're going to make fertilizer very expensive, which in turn knocks down the world's food supply and reduces access to fertilizer and food. And you're writing this, deteriorating nutrition, instability in electric grids, and rapidly increasing reliance on diesel generators, low-quality coal, and so forth and so on. I mean, this climate thing has to be thought through much, much better, it seems to me. You can't destroy one side while you think you're going to prop up the other. I'm not against renewables, David, but I'm against stopping fossils, and it's having some negative consequences.
Yes, and the challenge is for the poorer countries. The farmers don't get fertilizer because it's going to people that can pay, that can outbid them in the advanced economies. So Brazil is getting fertilizer from Nigeria, and they use it for their farmers. But then the farmers in Africa don't have the fertilizer. So it's a big problem, and it's one that has a long cycle. So over the next 2 years, the fields have been under-fertilized in poorer countries, so the yields will be down. Now, good news, the G7 does talk about this. They recognize that there has to be some kind of transition because natural gas is the core building block for fertilizer and for food. So you have to allow people in the poorer countries to be developing natural gas, even if you claim they're only going to use it for the next 30 years, but there has to be some allowance of the transition. That seems to be accepted. So the question then is, how do you actually get it done?
I think one place it's not accepted is here in the U.S.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
I mean, the Europeans have reclassified natural gas as a renewable. That's a big thing. Why don't we do that?
Well, you know, the regulatory structure is really in chaos and firmed up of what do you really want to do, how much are you willing to pay, and if the costs go to the poorer countries, are you going to give them some kind of compensation for that cost? I think that all has to be worked out. It's a really difficult problem for the world to have this big a dislocation going on. I talked about it a year ago, right after the Ukraine invasion, that there was going to have to be a full realignment of energy policy in the world. And I think that's going to take time. But we're missing, I mean, back to your core point, growth is simply too slow. And I think asset repricing is going to take quite a bit of time to adjust to a slow growth world.
Now, another key point in this is central banks should put more focus on policies that encourage currency stability and supply creation, not only demand destruction. Now, I started the show talking to Art Laffer about this very point. He agrees with you. Demand destruction is not the solution. You need stable, you need king dollar, and you need supply side policies to promote investment. We have to produce more goods and services. We can't just destroy it. We have to produce it. Now, what is the state of supply side policies?
If you have central banks that are based on the idea that inflation is caused by too much demand, then you and interest rates being too low, how are you ever going to create growth out of that kind of model? You have to say to hold down prices, you need stable money and you need more supply. So how that debate evolves globally, we'll have to see. Japan is still capping its interest rates. You know, they have their 10-year bond yield that they are constraining severely at artificial rates, and they're doing it by having the central bank buy bonds, which is part of this global concentration of capital in the rich people that can issue bonds.
It just seems like. So you have an inflation problem. Okay. It just seems like the central banks are fighting growth. They're not promoting growth. They're fighting growth. But it also seems like there's no coordination between fiscal and monetary policies. I mean, here, for example, so you get a jobs report yesterday. All right. So the jobs report was somewhat complicated and mixed results, blah, blah, blah. But my point is people are saying, well, the jobs could be strong, so that's got to stop jobs. They've got to launch their policies to prevent employment. I mean, that can't work. That's not what they're supposed to do. They're looking at the wrong indicators.
You've pioneered that point, that the Phillips curve simply is not a proper basis for deciding what to do with interest rates, and there has to be more recognition of currency stability and production being the source of price stability. And so everybody agrees you want to have, in general, on average, price stability. But what if your economy is really growing fast from a low level? You're going to have a lot more CPI inflation than somebody else. So I think there's got to be a full rethinking of the models, both on fiscal policy and on monetary policy. And subsidies are another angle. We're getting to the point where 50% of the economy, of many of the advanced economies, and even in the poorer countries, 50% is controlled by governments through their choice of subsidies. And so we're losing the spot where we can claim we're market-based economies.
Right.
China looks at that and says, you say you have a market economy, but it looks like your governments are dominating the whole economy. How are we supposed to react?
All right. David Malpass, welcome back to the private sector. That's all I'll say. We've run out of time. Thank you, buddy. Best to Adele. Appreciate it.